Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis, your host, and the founder of Women of Wisdom Foundation. And wow, we're just, 8 days away from our 28th annual Women of Wisdom Conference, held in Seattle, February 14th through the 16th. It's going to be held at the UW Tower in the University District of Seattle. Our theme this year is Radiate Loving Harmony, Unite Our World. So we're very excited to have a special guest this year, Jean Shinoda Bolin, and also Sarah Beek and Wendy Brule and Isidore Leidenfrost, and Gina Salah will be singing for us too. So it's going to be a fabulous weekend. It's going to open with Wendy Brule with a concert Friday night, February 14th, Valentine's Day, and that is open to men too to attend. That's at the auditorium in the UW Tower. So you can read all about it at the website, womenofwisdom.org. And today is my last interview of our workshop presenters. I have Jan Jorgensen on the line with me. She is presenting a workshop, Finding Your Voice, very important topic for women these days. Jan Jorgensen is an RN with advanced training and healing processes for the human body with a focus on the empowerment of women. She's a workshop provider, author, and educator. She taught at the Sound and Consciousness Institute and presently runs the Still Point Meditation Experience in Olympia, Washington, and Intentional Creativity Painting. Jan leads sacred tours, circles, and designs a voice release process to free women's voices. So you can find her on her website, soundandlighthealingarts.com. So welcome, Jan.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me back on the show. I'm looking forward to the conference. Thank you.
Yes, yes. Well, and you're doing work on exploring our feminine voices of truth. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. I know you do a lot. Last year you did a workshop on, it was more creative arts. We did some, everybody loved, people love to create something at the conference and some of the workshops. And we got to take home, in fact, I'm looking at it now, this painting I did, which, you know, was fun because it's just intuitive. And you can sit and look at these paintings all year long and go, what did I put in that? Oh, here's something new I see.
That's right. Women are visionaries. Yes, and we can put our work out there in many artistic ways. But my true home and focus is the empowerment of the voice of the developing divine feminine essence in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us how you got into that work, what your background is, how you came to it.
Well, I grew up in a family of five sisters, and we were all very strong, and it was hard to get a word in edgewise. And my father had a very strong, masculine, kind of angry personality, and I learned that it was better to not speak up and to just never challenge him and almost kind of hide. So I developed a kind of a panic fear of public speaking. And I also realized that I could easily, merge with my father and feel that what he was thinking is not what he was saying. And that totally frightened me. I said, how can people not speak the truth that creates such an unsafe environment, especially for me growing up in a big family where you didn't have a chance to get your voice in anyway. So that kind of dogged me all through, even through college. I remember sweating my knees. And so I vowed that I would learn how to help myself and other women. And I just kept coming up against more pain. And, you know, I became a singer, a professional singer, and still I had every process that every professional had written on how to stay calm, how to do this. I even tried a special drug that made your heart relax. But it wasn't until I started delving into vibrational processes and working with the unconscious triggers and beliefs that I was able to come up with some really powerful healing things that kind of just dissolve fear for me.
So that's great. It's really wonderful to come to terms with that fear. I remember in the spiritual training, and the first year of Woman of Wisdom was really the first year of feeling like I had released a lot of that fear to speak in front of groups. And, you know, they say that the biggest fear besides death is speaking in front of groups of people.
Yes, exactly. And I often start my groups or talks explaining that I work with people dying at the bedside for 6 years hospice. I was a registered nurse and also a singer. And it wasn't until I sat with people who had no judgment and were just open and actually needing some transition vibration that I would sing. And it wasn't that, like an audience, and it wasn't like I was afraid of their judgment. And I felt that I could really let go. I could unconditionally guide my singing by my will for a reduction of fear. And as a nurse, I watched the people let go, and I watched them have the transition into relaxation and possibly going to heaven. And so that is, I was about 54 years old, and I said, what is the state of grace? It was like unzipping between this world and heavenly grace. So I began studying at the Sound and Consciousness Institute, and I learned about sound. I learned about music and vibration, and I learned that more important than the words is your thoughts and intention behind what you're doing. In other words, your consciousness. Now, that just blew open me. I was a dental wife. I was a nurse, and I had some esoteric leanings, but that brought me into a world of some new absolute truth that didn't match the way I was living. So I changed stories. I left my husband. It was a very safe, wonderful, it was a solid place materialistically, but it wasn't feeding my soul. Until for the last 15 years, I've been able to devote myself to the science and the spirit path of helping women empower their voice beyond fear. And that has led me into finally learning that if we are seeking absolute truth, all we have to do is let it through. I was dating this fellow, and he was a great workshop speaker, and he would just talk and talk, and I would say, where do you get all that information? You're so brilliant. It's like otherworldly. He said, who said that I know it? He said, I simply open a channel and let it come through. So I threw out all my papers, and I stood there, and I have learned, I call it Be the Light meditation process, I have learned to help women. It's like we're in this hourglass, a little sands of time. Our whole body's in, and the tight bottleneck is right over the top of our head. So I have this process where I teach women to open that up and to let go of all fear, and the resonance and words of truth and the vibration of it can come through. And this is like a bell that rings something new for everyone listening, and they're saying, thank God somebody finally said the truth. And there's a sense of just being truly at home and trusting this person. So I seek the women who know that they have a piece of the puzzle for moving forward for a new way of living on Earth, whatever that piece is, and I help them remove the fear and to be that channel for that absolute truth. Now, before we get on this call, you mentioned, you said, Jan, you've been traveling. So these 15 years I studied the scientific basis, and I made the processes, but on this recent trip to Scotland, I went to the little island of Iona. Iona is where there were ancient matriarchal societies. And I was shown an important piece that I had totally overlooked, and this is it. When we women speak the truth, into a fear-based society of people with limited perceptions, they are going to be angry, or they're going to set us on false pedestals, or they're just going to write us off as kooks. So what I was shown in that truth is that as we speak the truth, we must meet the listenership. We must make it relevant. We must be authentic, and we must say it in a way that disarms their resistance, that allows them to feel absolutely safe and held, that in our voice holds the vibration of the best outcome for all, that it's not just the truth and we're just lashing out with angry truth. So that was a very important piece of what I'm bringing forward in the teachings now.
Yeah, so you talk about that, the vibration. Let's talk about that. How, what are you, to describe it a little bit more in relation to our voice and how you bring forth that vibration.
Okay.
I mean, you're talking about energy, so.
Yes. Okay, let's ground it in science now. I would be around certain people, and I felt like they're not telling the truth. And it wasn't until, again, and I was about 55, when this computer analysis program called the Voice Bio came forth. And, you know, our bodies are physical, they're biological mechanisms. However, when you speak, it is your intentions, your feelings, your emotions. We have a harmonic profile when we speak that I can plot onto an actual graph on a computer, and I can show a person how much energy they have in their body, of course, relative to other people. I can show them how high or low their energy is. I can show them, based on the harmonics or the music of their voice, how imbalanced they are. Okay, example. The other night I gave a talk, and I did people come and do their voice, and there's a woman who, she's a masseuse, she's new to the area and is looking for a job and is worried about money. She actually had such a high D sharp, and that is her adrenals. Her adrenals were extremely high. That is the D sharp note. So I can pinpoint to specificity 26 states that relate to potential disease and their degree of decompensation. For instance, a woman came in who had recently had a cancer surgery. I looked at her vocal profile, no C note, no B note, high E note. That is absolutely the person whose immune system is open to having the cancer experience. So the good thing is I can analyze, and from my nursing background, give a very soft, gentle idea to a person, and I use lights. I say, green light, plenty of energy, you're completely in balance. There are no high or low frequencies, which are driven by emotional, physical, or mental patterns. And I use light, green light, or yellow light would be, hey, let's watch this. Cut back on the sugar. You need more exercise. You're on the computer too much. There's patterns that are expressed in our voice, which I can grab, which show you who you are. Now, this is the amazing part. So that's one thing.
Can I just ask, is that listening to the voice in through a machine? That
Yes.
Graph it, okay.
Mm-hmm. You speak to a microphone and you answer three different questions of different nature. So you go into different neuro-emotional states, and it actually graphs the harmonics. Yeah, it's a scientific program. So, but then even further, I worked with entrepreneurial groups. For instance, if you have a low D sharp where there's no D sharp left, and a lot of nurses and caregivers have that, where they've exhausted their adrenals. If you are giving a talk to a group of businesswomen or potential clients or colleagues or a romantic partner, they are going to unconsciously know and in their gut that this person is exhausted, gives too much, and is most likely codependent. Then we will attract people in based on asking us to do things that we don't want to do, but we have markers in our voice that show our boundaries, our lifestyle, actually our whole history is unconsciously broadcast through our voice. It's a phenomenal program.
Yeah, for instance, it sounds amazing.
If a woman has learned from her mother or has had men betray her, her vocal pattern will attract in men who she feels comfortable with, and those are the men that will continue to betray her. Now, people say, okay, am I going to have this same pattern forever? No, not necessarily, because you can reprogram yourself out of it by changing the leading pattern thought or emotion. You can also tone. I give people like it's a little prescription of toning. For instance, if you have a really high F sharp, that robs your C note. So I can have them actually tone, retune, rebalance their body by getting more C note in, which will bring the F sharp down. They've used this program in programs where women have been in abusive relationships or in shelters, and they have them do the toning, and then they end up actually being repulsed by men. They're never attracted to that sort of men. So we're doing this dance all the time. We need people to come in our lives who have the notes we're missing until we take charge and we rebalance all of our own notes and get a really nice graph and profile.
So many, like all the notes. So you have like on a piano scale.
That's exactly it. Actually, I'll be showing a PowerPoint at the conference, and each note has the color and it makes a beautiful pattern. And so if you're missing a note, that it's usually condensed energy or an absence of it. So it's a pretty cool thing. The main thing I want to talk about, now that just was confirmation of what I've been feeling and sensing of women are getting stuck in self-defeating patterns and dead-end relationships and unconscious patterns their whole life. So then I said, okay, Spirit, I'm on this path and I'm really devoting myself. Now I have proof. Can you show me how to help them? So what I will be demonstrating and showing pictures of and taking people through a process is something I developed. I've never heard of anybody in the world else doing this. I call it voice release. And that is what we'll be focused on. I've done it in groups worldwide. I've done it in groups of 100 people, of 10 people. So I'm imagining we'll have about 20 women in the circle. And this is the process of voice release. During the time that I work with the scientists at the Voice and Conscious Institute, there's a fellow named John Reed in the United Kingdom, and he developed a visual of the human voice. It's called a cymatic print. Looks like a snowflake. So imagine that as you are speaking, you are moving particles of moisture or time or space, and that your voice is going out and bathing people with everything about you, your story and who you are. So it's a thing. It's real. So he makes a picture of it, and Eric Larson, a friend of mine, designed, engineered a machine. You can actually get a print of your voice. So I'll be showing a picture in the PowerPoint, a picture of my voice. So I said, oh my goodness, if it's an actual thing and it is floating in time and space, it holds the pattern of imbalance. And I asked Spirit to show me. I say this is a scientific spiritual process, and it truly is, because I went into a deep meditation, and they said, what if you used your voice like one of those laser machines that they use to break up kidney stones? Because in this person's body, in their somatic body, they are holding the old initial wounding that made them think that they are less, they must contract, they must protect themselves. Maybe a father yelled at them, or authority figure, or the mother shamed them. And that pattern has gone into their voice as a megaphone to keep creating these experiences. So they showed me that if I imagined a woman sitting across from me and have her tone a simple note, that I could see that snowflake, that energy, or imagine it coming out of her, holding the imbalance imprint, snowflake. And if I were to sing and match that using the intentionality that I use with hospice patients, that I will sing through that snowflake, down through that person's body, right into the initial trauma. And just like a laser vibrational scalpel, begin to shake it up and deconstruct it. And to my amazing, I'm still amazed to this day. This process is profound. I use different vowel sounds, and they match, and I match. Then I move a little tone. I move around their voice. And again, I think it is a specific gift that I have since I was little, that I can merge with my father and know what he was thinking and feeling. And I actually merge with the woman sitting in front of me and can feel and sense where my notes, my frequencies of my voice go down within that snowflake into her body and begin to do that pulsation. Now, one of the advantages I've had to doing this is I've studied anthroposophic pure tone singing for 30 years, where they encouraged us, and I learned how to go to tiny little specific frequencies and hold them to certain durations. And at the time when I was studying it, I didn't even know why I was mastering those techniques. But often in our lives, we're collecting these little talents, and now with voice release, it's the whole picture for me, and it's something that I can offer. And my desire is to teach it to other people so they can do it with their group in their workshop. It's not difficult. It's a pretty simple process.
So we'll be doing that at the conference, in the workshop.
Yes. What I usually do is show a PowerPoint, and everybody kind of buys into it like it's fact. And, oh, my God, it's amazing. And then we have someone come up, and usually the people that volunteer are holding a specific archetype. When I did an event with women leaders in the media in Nevada City, a woman from Israel stepped forth, and she was carrying a lot of pain of a present-day woman living in Israel, back and forth. And that pain, archetype, harmonic profile in her voice, as we put new codes and frequencies and unlock it, this is the amazing thing. They know through the morphic field of the earth, they say a butterfly moves in another continent, you can feel it on the other side. As her archetype is released, anyone else in that room, through sympathetic resonance, has the exact same healing released from their body. She carries a healing silhouette from that moment on, and it does radiate out. So it's not just for the people in the conference. It's planetary work.
Yes, and as we strengthen our voices, activate our the woman's voices, and become, you know, strong in that, you know, in leaders, that what you're talking about then, that that vibration, because that's what you're, goes out to the rest of the world. So all the energy work we're doing, it isn't just for us. You know, yes, we're healing ourselves, but it's for everybody.
Yes, that's a very true thing you just said. And sometimes we feel like, why am I saddled with so much? Or why do I feel like there's more for me to do? And it's because there is a swath of other humans that you actually contracted before you came in, before you were born, to assist and support, to awaken and raise their vibration so that we could have these new co-creations together. And I believe that we women, especially women of a certain maturity and wisdom on our spiritual path, getting together, actually elevate and accelerate the entire process phenomenally. That's why your conference is so important. And you've been doing it for 27 years. I have to commend you for that.
Well, it's a woman of wisdom. She just keeps going. You know, it's spirit-led, and she's her own entity and just keeps us humans working on it. That's
it's
how I feel about it.
It's an extremely powerful place. When I went last year, I was just amazed. And, you know, I may have said this before, maybe to you, but Rudolf Steiner, he was the great anthroposophist who designed Waldorf schools and initiatives in healing, biodynamic farming. He often said that it would be the people in the Pacific Northwest or the Western United States, Northern region, that is us, that would lift the vibration of the entire planet. And it would be through people doing heart-centered work. And it's like we raise our finger and the veils are thinner now, and that the angelic or high vibration, just what I experienced doing hospice music, this state of grace is so available to us. We have quite a privilege living here, of course, in America, and the level of education and the comfort. And I think we have everything going for us to actually have this come into fruition, what Rudolf Steiner prophesied, I mean, like in the 1930s.
Mm, yeah. Well, and, you know, with that also comes, I think, a responsibility. We have this, yes, it's almost, you know, a privilege to be living in this Western world and have the education opportunities,
yeah,
and also communities like Women of Wisdom, but it also comes with the responsibility to kind of like to hold our hands out to help others. It's not just for ourselves. A lot of times people come to a place like Women of Wisdom for self, you know, mind, body, spirit healing. But when you've been doing it for many, many years, there comes a point where your role is to, and responsibility is to then help others with that, to share your wisdom, share your gifts, help others be leaders, help others find their voices.
I went to the Seattle Museum the other day, and right there next to a beautiful iconic picture was exactly that: to those who much is given, much is expected. And I think our role is, something I've worked with the past few years, and it's just come back on my desk very powerfully, is that those who have had the opportunity to study and learn things, we really are mandated to come together in circles to share, sacred circles for women and for sisterhood. And some of those circles will be of like-minded leaders and supporting and curating and working through things, and then going out and working with other circles, bringing your mastery and empowering the leader of that circle in her community. So you're right. We have a lot of work to do, and I think the feminine way is in circles. It's not the old pyramid.
Yeah.
I'm in project, and I'm in a, you know, charge a lot of money, and you're lucky if I come to your community. We're empowering women on the ground in, taking the responsibility to share what we know. And essentially, that's why I'm coming to the conference. I say, you know, this voice release came to me. It's not mine. I got to share it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it is a place that, I mean, the women come, it's a love offering. The presenters that come for our community, for other women, they know the value of that. And so they're coming with that loving, gifting energy. And people know that. You can feel it. It's not about going being paid a lot of money to be a presenter at a conference. That's not what we're about.
Yep, it's a beautiful community of a very high vibration.
Circle work too is important in Women of Wisdom, and we haven't for a while, but we've taught circle leadership. It's been a few years, just a matter of organizing and putting them together. We get calls every once in a while, somebody desiring that, but it's just been the logistics of being able to facilitate that. But it's, you know, the work is out there. There are books out there. We use Christina Baldwin's Calling the Circle. It's a great book on running women's circles. And taking it to wherever you go, taking the ideas and the concepts where you are, where you're in a patriarchal community or system or group, that you can interject these kind of new, you know, like you say, feminine ways of being together with people, just tiny little shifts. Instead of sitting in theater style, sit in a circle. We often have an altar in the center, but, you know, just put a vase of flowers, just things that there's just little techniques that you can that bring people together in a sense of community and being together in a circle and when you're in a circle, it's like you recognize that everybody is part of this group and everybody's voice counts. And there's a lot of techniques that's what the Calling the Circle goes into, a lot of techniques about that and a lot of principles to make that work. It does take work and trust. And we've been at it for a while.
So one of the models that I like as we create these overlapping circles is the release of competition or power over or knowing more. And that has been one of the things I think that has slowed down the whole process. So this is one of the pictures that I've used as I've created different organizations and circles and centers. But if there is a circle, there is one woman who's called it and has an intention, and that kind of sets a form. And she kind of holds the middle of the maypole, like a golden maypole. And the ribbons are the women who are interested in learning and being part of that. So when they gather in the circle, the intentional person who activated will begin and stay and share her mastery. But then she sits down, and she has someone else stand up and be in that maypole, completely sharing powerfully who she is and what she's bringing. Then that woman sits down, and then the next woman. And then the woman who starts the circle at the end thanks everybody, or they make a plan. But I really like that model. And the other model that I've used over the years is the way the birds fly, they're in a V formation. And the first bird gets tired, so she takes a break, and the bird in the back comes up and takes over for a while.
Uh-huh.
So the flock gets where it needs to go. But I know over the years, as women have gone into more masculine roles and have taken entrepreneurial roles and back of the room sales, that they have forgotten the equality, collaboration, cooperation, and joy of being in a feminine circle, of letting everybody be powerful, letting everybody win.
Yes, and it takes practice. I mean, you know, as we make mistakes, we're human, and it takes a while of having a group and building the trust and communicating. And it's an ongoing process, because we have been kind of ingrained in this patriarchal world. And so there's some just, you know, that things just happen because these patterns have been for, you know, thousands of years. So,
yes.
So it takes a conscious effort. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show today, and we've talked about what you're going to offer. And I know how this would, but perhaps you'd like to share for yourself how your work relates to the theme Radiate Loving Harmony.
Well, I think if we do the voice release and we clear some archetypes of fear, self-limitation, that the women carrying those voices, the megaphones, will be more open to divine vibrations, which, of course, are love and peace. So, yeah, I think that would be wonderful to happen. I imagine I usually am able to do about 4 voice releases, but we'll see in the time frame. Sometimes we have working time, we can get a lot more women. It depends. When everybody in the room feels when the release happens. In fact, it's a gasp. And it's like that construct of that woman's limitation is just, it's palpably released from her body, and everybody feels it, and it's just like, sometimes they clap. It's
yeah,
a process.
So even if you aren't doing the process, everybody gains from it. Everybody learns. And,
yeah.
I could understand that. That's great. Okay, well, we look forward to seeing you next weekend. Thank you so much for being on the show and coming up to Seattle next weekend. And also, you're going to be a vendor, so people will be able to talk to you during the weekend also.
Yes, I'll be doing actually voice bio readings.
Oh,
I'll
fabulous.
I'll be doing mini readings, and they take 10 minutes, and I can give people their profile. So, yeah, that's a quite a valuable service, and I'll have my intentional creativity paintings there, which also are archetype healing energy. So thank you for having me on your show, Chris. Always appreciate any chance to intersect with you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So everybody, be sure to check out the website, womanofwisdom.org, for all the events. One of the things that's unique about our conference is you can attend one day, Saturday or Sunday of your choice, or both days. We also have a special now that you can bring a friend. So there's a reduced price, 2 for a certain price, for whether you're regular or senior or students, and that's all on the website. So bring a friend in and share this experience with somebody and get a little savings. And we also have a red tent. If you aren't available all weekend, but you want to spend some time, we have a Saturday afternoon. You can join us for lunch and you can relax in the red tent. We have a chair massage person. You can do tarot readings with yourself. There'll be divinity cards there. Just meditate, hang out, and then attend one of our one-hour workshops that we have before dinner. The price doesn't include dinner, but it includes that 1 hour we're preparing for our dinner. Or you can buy a ticket for Saturday evening for our banquet. So if you don't have the weekend days free, you can join us Saturday night at 6:15. We're having our banquet, and Jean Shinoda Boland is speaking, and Gina Salah will open for her with her fabulous singing. So thank you for listening to the Voices of Women show and learning about the Woman of Wisdom presenters. I'm your host, Chris Danis, and I will be back in March interviewing other women authors. We're complete now with the conference, and yes, I'll be contacting some fabulous, there's so many out there, just fabulous people to interview and share their voices of women. Thank you.